Oh my God, it's time for another Minor Revelations with Drew Drogi. I've had a lot of coffee, so I'm just coming in hot. Hello, how are you? Oh my God, I have been doing this thing and I've been talking to a lot of people and it seems like there's the thing that we're all doing now, which is the second we wake up, grabbing our phones and swiping over to the news and just seeing like what's going on now. Holy shit. Is he impeached yet? Who's dead? What's on fire? Like, what crazy shit is going on in our world? We're living in fear right now. We're living in a horrible time right now. And we're going to look back on this time and be like, oh, my God, what did we do? What was happening? But yeah, there's so much going on. And I think that we are we're just sort of coping the best that we can. And I know a lot of people are like choosing to ignore it completely and just kind of doing their own thing. And they're just like, what can I do? And then a lot of people that are so consumed by it that are just it's sort of, you know, it's maybe not healthy because it's just this constant barrage of like, how many things can I do? But I think ultimately, believe it or not, as much as I bitch and moan and complain throughout my life and to all of my friends and loved ones, I do think I'm an optimist in the sense that I think this is all ultimately good. I think ultimately this is the last horrible dying grip of the disgusting straight old white man, and they are being as horrible and ugly and just filthy as they can be as they slowly pull away from this new beautiful thing that's happening. And the beautiful thing that's happening is that we are informed and we care and we're like connecting, and we are protesting, we're making phone calls, but even on a smaller level, like I just noticed the other day in my neighborhood, there was this like bake sale for, and they were giving all the money to Planned Parenthood, and it was like, donate what you can. There was, you know, we've made all these things, and it was, and they maybe give a couple $100 to Planned Parenthood, but it was getting people to connect and talk to each other. And actually in LA, the joke is you don't know your neighbors, and it's so true, but we were meeting our neighbors, and I was like, I've lived in this place for 2 years and I'm meeting people that I live next door to in a building next door, like, hi, nice to meet you. And we are connecting in that way. We are supporting each other, and we can't be afraid of what's next, and we can't be afraid of each other. I've also just, I know we're on edge, but oh my God, I've just noticed a lot with interacting with strangers that people don't know how to talk to each other as strangers. And that is one thing that, like, in other cities, like in New York, people are a lot better at just kind of like just starting a conversation with a stranger. And it's not anything more than just like, we're standing in line or we're on a train or whatever, and we're just going to have small talk and chat. And there's nothing more to it than that. But in LA, people freak out and they're like, well, what do you want from me? Or what are you doing to me? And it's this crazy thing. The other day I was like at a coffee place and I got in line, and I guess like this couple was like towards, they were like right at the door. So when I walked in, and it was as if I came in with like a bloody knife and just like furry teeth and rage at this woman. She's like yelped at me as I'm, you know, just to like be in line behind her. It was just as if I was the, you know, out to get her. So I was, you know, immediately I go, calm down or something. I think I said something horrible. Because I'm like, I'm not a scary person. You're not allowed to be scared of me. At which point I'm screaming at someone. So that helps. That really helps. And maybe a year ago, I have a very distinctive walk, and I think it's very clear when I'm heading somewhere. I'm also like 5 feet of legs. I mean, it's like, I really am. I'm all legs, and I walk very quickly. I always have somewhere to be. I never just casually stroll anywhere. It's always like, there's a point. I need to get there. And I walked up behind this family, and this woman had a child in her, and she was holding this kid's hand, and the dad had the toddler on his shoulders. And as I walked behind them, and I said, "Excuse me," this woman grabbed her kid away from, you know, away from my path, and she screamed at me, "You startled me." And it was just like, I startled you. Like, there are people else in the world. And I know we're scared right now. And I know we're like, oh, what's going to happen? And is the sky going to turn black at any moment? And, you know, are we going to have to run to some shelter or whatever? But we have to not be afraid of each other. And I need to calm down. I do need to calm down and realize that we're all going through stuff. But let's just let's love each other. Let's get through this. Let's create and be wonderful. And don't stop. Don't, like, you know, life's a full-time job. Don't stop making those phone calls. Don't stop, you know, doing those bake sales. Don't stop posting those articles, doing everything you can. Stay awake, stay involved. We're getting through this. Hi guys, how are you? I'm so sorry. I do this. I do the weirdest thing. I say, hi, how are you? And my guests don't know that they can say hello. I'm sitting here with two of my favorite people. And you guys are just sitting here, like, quietly sitting through my intro.
You're like, hello. You kind of, like, looked, like, around. Like, is he talking to
I know. Well, I tried to do my... I did.
Are you okay?
This is going great. I just did my intro when you both were sitting here so lovely, quiet. And so now I'm involving you into the show. I'm sitting here with two of my favorite people, Tim McCurtin and Jeffrey Self.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
It's really nice to sit on, you know, high back stools.
Isn't it nice?
Across from you. It's very nice.
With
just
fabriced.
Like a, with sort of just like a nice safe amount of distance between us.
There's a big distance between us. So just in case, yeah. You know, if you want to kick your legs out or, you know, you can just do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, my God. Well, how are your dates going?
My days or my dates, honey?
You're both. I want to hear about your days and your dates. I want to hear all about
them. Your day
them.
Dates.
My day dates. My day's been fine. I got up. I had breakfast at
great.
A diner.
Ooh.
And,
ooh, fancy.
I applied to adopt a dog, but then realized...
Oh, my God.
But, like, then I realized, like, I don't have time to do that in the next, like, 3 weeks. And then this, like, lady who was very excited named Randy.
Of course. Was it Randy Graff?
It's Randy Graff. Randy with two E's. Kept,
oh,
called
yeah.
me, has called me now three times.
Oh, my God. About, calm down, Randy.
Yeah. So
just today.
Just this morning.
Uh-huh. So. Oh, my God. No, Randy, stop.
It's just like, play it cool, babe.
There's a thing about, thank God for... animal rescue people, and that's like
totally.
A wonderful thing, a calling to people that do that, and they you know, but there is sort of an ongoing, like, sort of super desperate.
There's an urgency. I don't know if Randy wants this dog out of her house. I don't know if she's just, like, busy. I don't know.
But she really has something to do, and that is, like...
And then, of course, like, in your application, you have to be like, I work from home. I don't really do much all day, but then I'm avoiding her calls.
Right.
So I can't
right.
be like,
right,
sorry,
exactly.
I was at work.
Yeah, exactly.
She knows everything about me.
She knows.
You're but just going to get like, home, and the dog's going to be there.
And exactly. Or just Randy.
Or Randy.
The dog.
Randy's going to be there on all fours panting and just expecting you to just like
holding a leash in her mouth through clenched teeth and then tossing it at me and then like yelping.
Oh my God. Well, that's a lot. That's like a full morning.
That's been
a lot
my morning.
That's a
what
lot
about you, Tim?
Oh God. I woke up and I'm like one of those assholes doing P90X.
Good for you.
Wow.
It's so stupid. So I was like jumping around. Thank you. But I jumped around my apartment because it was plyo day.
What the hell does that mean?
What does that mean?
It's like it's all jumping. It's all jumping exercises. My knees are like shot.
Do you have downstairs neighbors?
Under half of my apartment, the other half is a garage. So at least I'm jumping over the garage
okay,
part.
Okay, well, that's good.
But it's a lot. And that I just have to put it on mute because the guy that like... runs the thing. It's just so annoying. It just doesn't stop talking. And
it's too much.
It's too much. I think I'm going to quit doing it.
How long have you been doing it?
Like 3 weeks.
Whoa. That's, yeah. No, it's really, that's really yeah. great.
I just hate going to the gym.
Right.
And why am I even talking about it? Like,
well, no, I mean, I'm working out with my, I worked out with my trainer this morning and he made me do a lot of jumping today. And I, when I have to jump, I go back to fifth grade gym class. I go back to so much insecurity because when I had to jump hurdles, I was really bad at it and I always knocked into the hurdles and I always got laughed at. So I have, I am so in my head when I have to jump and it's the weirdest thing. And it's like, I, at this point in my life, I'm like, I'm just going to always have that to deal with because the, a few weeks ago, he had me jump up onto this high box, like up and off. And like, and I said, I don't think I can do it. I mean, I know I can get high enough, but I'm in my head about like just jumping far enough to land on the box and then back and then up and back. And I was like, if I can get through the first one, I can get in a rhythm and do it. If that makes any sense. Yeah. But just the first one is like, and I tried to do it and I didn't jump far enough and I caught my legs on, I mean, or my like ankles on the edge of the box and slammed my legs down onto the box. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to play right now and I have to play a very glamorous woman and I can't have banged up legs. So I was like, I'm sorry. Vanity and fifth grade are keeping me from jumping on boxes.
Also, like, why do you have to do all this like silly stuff in a workout? Like, it's so ridiculous the things you have to do in these things.
It's crazy what you have to do just to maintain your own body.
It's like so and you're gross. Like,
and it's like, oh my God. And I don't do that much damage to my body, do I? But I have to, you know. And it's an ongoing thing. But today I was just jumping over a weight. Like I was, it was not that far, you know, but I had to do a lot of jumping today.
It's the worst part of it.
Yeah. And I do these things called like marathons where I was like down on the ground and I had to have one foot up on one side of me and then immediately kick the other foot out to the other and just go back and forth. I was just like heaving.
So awful.
And I was just like, this is the worst thing ever. Sweating.
Does it make you throw up?
No, it never has. But I definitely get
nauseous.
I get nauseous. Yeah. And
I do too. And
I get really, you know, I just get out of breath and I get, you know, and I start seeing crazy sparkles.
Totally.
I just hate it. And I don't, and I know people like, they look forward to it. I mean, it feels great when you're done.
But do you, I don't trust a single person who's like, I look forward to the gym.
No. Well, I don't think they have much interesting to say.
They must
usually.
Not, or they must just be
I mean,
really
my trainer's
bored.
really funny and lovely and great. And we have a lot of, we like, make each other laugh. Thank God he's like a funny person and he like has a good sense of humor and we want to talk about like videos we've seen or like, have you seen this, whatever. Thank God, because like if he was just like a juice head.
Oh God, that would be.
There's one guy that works out at our gym. He's one of the trainers and he wears these horrible t-shirts that just
like
say things that are just like,
you know, say things
that are like, you know, it's you know, it's time to pump, bro. And they're all just like, they're all like pro gym shirts. But one of them said, and I'm like, I don't understand. It's just disgusting, but I don't quite understand it. But it just says, your girlfriend knows.
Ew. Pardon?
And it's like, so are you fucking everyone's girlfriends? Or are you like, yeah, she knows. I've got a big dick. Like, what are you saying?
What are
or like,
you
or
saying,
like
sir?
She knows that I can just pump make iron. Love the fuck out of her. Like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand what it means, but it's disgusting.
Have you seen him wear that shirt more than once?
Oh, he wears it constantly.
He has like different colors.
Yeah. One for each day of the week.
That's like
but
his uniform.
I don't know what it means. And I'm like, I just look at him and I'm like, you're stupid.
Yeah.
You're a stupid person. You don't have much going on.
That's why I used to go to the gym, but I was so unmotivated because I was like just watching people constantly and like distracted. Mm-hmm. And if I had to watch one more man dry their crotch under the hand dryer.
Ew.
Oh, God. I didn't know where
daily.
You were going.
Disgusting.
Jesus.
I couldn't do it anymore.
What was this
God.
Filthy gym
what
you
this,
went
to? What was this wet dick gym?
It was just 24-hour fitness in Glendale.
There you go.
But it was a great deal.
Anything with the word 24 hours in it is going to be problematic.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And it's that whole, the culture around it is, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
And thank
That's
God.
That's why I can just like work out at home, I like be a mess at home, and not have to like look at anybody.
I like the term you just use, pro gym. Like that's like a culture. I think that's a movement.
Yeah, it is. It's like the people that are just like, they're constantly there and all about it. And
there are people who, I know people who go twice a day.
Yeah, I do too.
And like you really, you should adopt children.
Yeah, exactly. You need something to do.
Yeah.
You need a hobby. and you're pretty horrible because there's, I don't know.
And also, it gets
so we've
point
torn
like,
about everyone who's healthy.
What?
Now that we've torn apart everyone healthy in the world.
Would you like another martini? I'm bringing in some salted cheddar that we can, ew, you know, just, I don't know, that are the worst.
Just bricked cheddar.
We're just going to eat and just drink and not give a shit. Oh, I know. But, you know, whatever. I don't have some balance. Like, I really do enjoy, like after it's over, I'm glad I did it. But, you know, and thank God I like my trainer, because if I didn't like him, I would be like, it would be a real mess.
Yeah, it would be tough.
It would be really, really, really tough to do. Well, talk to me. Do you guys have revelations or stories? Or
I just wanted to read some from the Book of Revelations.
Oh, wonderful. You do that a lot. So it's not really a revelation
just
that you would read from Revelations.
Some of my favorite insert.
Yes.
Do you want to? It's the most punishing book in the Bible.
Yes.
Certainly the most terrifying.
You like ripped it out of the Bible and stapled it and just keep it in your pocket at all times.
Yeah, that and The Love Machine are my two favorite books from the Bible.
Jacqueline Suzanne's The Love Machine. Have you read that book, actually?
Of course I have.
Have you read it, Tim?
No.
Do you know it? It's so good.
It's great. They never made it into a movie, did they?
They did, but it was terrible, and I think it was a TV movie. They did all of those books. Once is Never Enough.
It's great. It's so great.
But it's so weird.
It's so weird.
But The Love Machine is referencing the television.
Yeah.
They call the television The Love Machine, but it's about Robin Stone, and he's also a love machine.
He's cool.
And he's cool, and he's a producer, and you imagine, like, Michael Douglas in the early 80s. Like, that's kind of what you imagine. When I read the book,
totally.
I think of him like,
and I think like it was cocaine and a gold chain.
It was what's his name from Barbarella that did the movie?
Oh, that was in the movie.
The hot guy from that who has the three names. Anyway, he's Robin Stone, and it's these three women that are like obsessed with him, and one of them's a reporter, and one of them's a socialite.
Isn't she married to a studio like someone famous? Socialite's like a little older.
I think.
A little older.
And then another one's a model. It's a model, and so they all are obsessed with Robin Stone, and they all are having affairs with him.
Yes.
And he's like does whatever he wants, and he's so sexy. The book you're reading it, you're like everyone wants to fuck Robin Stone.
And also, of course, because it's Jacqueline Suzanne, it's like 2,000 pages long.
Yes. And the books are so giant in large font. So yeah, and then these insanely like pastel covers. So you take them out in public and read them, and you are like, I am the gayest thing alive, yeah, and no apologies for it.
I need to read these.
Oh, they're great.
Oh, they're so
good. Actually, I think she's a fantastic writer.
Too.
Like the way she writes that world, and I mean Valley of the Dolls obviously is so great, but it's like it's the, you know, I think Once Is Not Enough is my favorite because it's just you can't put it down.
No, I completely
and everything's
agree.
Like vodka, steak, and Benzedrine. That was her morning.
Totally.
And you know, and she really goes into like drugs and hangovers and sex and the culture, and everyone's just a horrible person, and it's wonderful.
Oh, life.
It's
well
a great
lived.
Life.
So beautiful.
Oh, the 60s. Anyway.
To be in that time.
Yeah.
I guess my revelation would be, I don't know if I've ever really talked to you guys about this. I am like really like not even just like grossed out. I'm grossed out by, but like I have like a like almost like a physical reaction to ribbons.
What? Wait, ribbons? Like what kind of ribbons?
Like, okay, not necessarily like gift wrap ribbon where it's like plastic, but like a satin, like silky, like hair, like a ribbon a girl would wear in her hair.
Oh, wow.
Or like around her neck, or like when it's like or like a dress is trimmed in ribbon. I get so grossed out by that. I don't know what it is. It literally like makes my skin crawl.
Wow.
Yeah. And like my sister, and I also hate bows, really hate bows. and like it literally like that's why like when I tie my shoes, I tuck them in because I hate looking at bows.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's like freaks me out.
That's really fascinating.
And, yeah. And my sister had this bathrobe when I was growing up that was covered in red satin bows. And I just remember it used to make me physically nauseous to eat breakfast if she was wearing it.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's something so like dainty and prissy about it and like cute.
Yeah. And I also really hate when babies have like a bow on their head and they're bald or have wisps of hair.
Yes.
That like disgusts me.
So you hate angina?
Yes. Revolt. revolting. Revolted. I find it so upsetting and I don't know really what it is, but I just
there's
like,
also something
pisses
like
me off.
Dirty about bows.
Yeah, there's like
you don't clean a
bow. Did you wash that? You don't wash it.
Yeah, like even talking about it right now, I'm like. It makes me want to vomit, the idea of it.
Well, there is also something that's so... I remember when I was a kid that I think that's so stupid about them that it's, like, funny. Like, I always used to laugh at, like, growing up in church, and these women would wear hats in church, and I'm like, why?
Why?
Yeah. What purpose does that serve? You're wearing a hat in church. And I always thought it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's things like that. I also... Yeah, it's just the idea of, like, unnecessary accessories, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And also, I have, it's not as intense, but I have a really hard time with bow ties.
Okay.
Mm. I really don't like them. Mm-hmm. And they don't gross me out as much as like a thin, like smooth, silky, shiny ribbon. Like, ugh. But
that's
like a
so
bow tie, I can't really handle
the
it.
The more you talk about it, the more I'm
you
getting
it. You get it?
Yes.
It's no, I totally get it now too, and I've never really consciously thought about it.
Like, it's all you'll
but now, and I've known you for so long and so well, and I can't believe we've never talked about this before.
And I avoid it like when they're like there's even like there's an ad right now with like RuPaul for Drag Race who has like a giant bow on her wig, and I'm just like I know it's on her across her chest, and it grosses me out. Like even that, I'm like, just it's too much. It's just something that is just.
And I wonder if it's like goes back to like a childhood thing when you were just like,
I don't know if it goes back to like, did something bad happen when my sister was wearing that bow covered bathrobe, or was it the
first
fact
of all,
that
like I also love like a bathrobe covered in bows? Like, how functional is that?
That's the thing.
Because like a bathrobe, it's like you're still damp from the and it's so it should
like
be like
a wet ribbon. Oh. Yeah, it's so not good. It's not good.
That sounds like a horrible indie rock band. Like wet ribbon.
Oh
yeah,
wet silk.
Disgusting. Yeah. Well, that stinks. Like silk, like raw silk, is a disgusting smell. Yeah. My mom used to have like a suit that was made with like raw silk, and I could smell it in the other room.
My mother sold a lot of raw silk at her clothing boutique.
And I would be so mad about it. I'm like, why?
Just raw silk.
Also, Pert Plus, the shampoo.
Oh yeah,
kind of vaguely smells like silk to me, and it grosses me out. Like there's like a faint. Like just that and it's that pearly green shampoo, and it's always that, and that smell of it is like, oh, there's like a sweet,
I know what you mean.
It's like a sick sweetness. It's like something died and then was covered up with like candy, or like
or like air freshener.
Right, like there's like a cheapness to it.
Was in New York and staying with a friend in their guest bedroom on the bed. They had silk sheets.
Oh, disgusting.
And I slept on top of the quilt.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I've slept on silk sheets once before, and it was one of the weirdest nights of my life.
Exactly.
I just kept waking up being so grossed out by it, and I got like hot in the middle of the night, and so then I was sweaty on top of silk and just get so revolted. They were brown too. Everything about silk sheets should not be made. They just shouldn't.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Oh, but they feel so great.
It's all about bamboo sheets. Have you guys tried bamboo?
Yeah, bamboo sheets?
It's a new thing,
great.
Drew.
Wait, I don't know about this. What is it? Tell me.
My mom got me into it. Bamboo is now this like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it has been for a long time, but people are like making socks out of bamboo now.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like hard. Like, it's made into like a cotton-y feeling.
Can you imagine just raw bamboo sheets?
But
deal with it.
I have, yes.
They're really comfy.
They are
very soft.
Wow.
And they breathe. Yeah. And it's like,
highly recommend. Highly recommend a bamboo sheet.
And the secret that pandas have known for years. How do you think pandas
My mother
sleep?
Is a panda bear,
oh,
by
we know,
the way.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't told you guys that. Yeah, Jeffrey's mom is a famous panda.
At the Atlanta Zoo. She's been there for years.
They let her out on Tuesdays
and
Thursdays.
She has a lot of great suggestions. A lot of eucalyptus.
Oreo is her name.
Her name is Oreo.
She thinks that's so clever, too.
Oh, yeah.
So proud.
Sounds lovely.
Oh my god, I love that. I need to get some bamboo sheets. That's good to know.
Yeah, good to know. Yeah.
And no ribbons.
No
ribbons. It's so funny how like certain things just make you like certain clothing items just are just like horrible, like horrifying. I just always love costumes and stuff because sometimes like they're what's funny to me about like in this play that we're doing this like period show where we like things that I wear that are just completely not useful that are just totally for the sake of like I wear this skirt
and I was just thinking about that garden.
It's this shelf and they've added material underneath to give me like bigger hips which God knows why do I need that but it's like but just and it's this useless skirt it serves no purpose
but it's
whatsoever.
Only like half a skirt
it's
almost.
Half a skirt it snaps in the front but it just goes around the back and it's just like a gardening skirt but it doesn't cover the whole body. It doesn't.
You're wearing like khaki shorts in the front.
I'm wearing
or something.
A jumper. Like a jumper. I'm wearing a okay. red jumper underneath oh, right. it all. And then like, but it's just like, clothes are funny to me when they just don't serve any purpose. And also you can tell when people put clothes on because they want to show you, they like, look what I have.
Yes.
Look at this that I found. And, you know, and it's always like, oh my God, you actually, you know.
Yeah. You like, you chose to wear that brooch.
You chose to wear that. And so much in like, and what I think find funny and with is, I mean, I think clothes are hilarious.
Yeah.
That, you know, cause I'm like, I just throw on whatever to, you know, get through the day
totally.
And it's like with people that are like when they talk about like important pieces or they just like look at you know and you're just like wow you really put a lot into that you spent a lot of money on that and you look ridiculous and you know and I'm gonna laugh at you and you're whatever you're wearing
and your spring gloves
gloves
you know get ready seeing a lot of them
gloves are Silk. Something that I have this thing and my skin I hate wearing like rings watches, jewelry, watches, band-aids even. My skin like can't handle band-aids. I can feel a band-aid on the entire time it's on me.
Do you wear a watch? No.
I don't.
No, I don't.
I can't
either.
Do it. I don't deal with any of those kind of things.
But it's been years. Like
It drives me crazy. And gloves, I mean, I have to be like freezing cold to put gloves on.
Oh, yeah. Evening glove?
No.
Absolutely not. I mean,
only for when I'm at home.
Well, for the Met Gala.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, yes. All the galas I go to. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Wonderful.
Met ball
parties. Met ball parties and stuff. You need the long opera gloves for those. Exactly. Yes. Tim, what's up?
Oh, well, speaking of like ribbons and like church and hats.
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Let's keep going.
So I grew up like Catholic, very Irish Catholic, went to church every Sunday.
Were there hats in that church?
There were a lot of hats.
Okay.
You know,
you went to Catholic school.
Catholic school, Catholic grade school, high school, college as well. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. But it's those things that you look back on, you mm-hmm. know, as an adult, like you look back on your childhood.
Right.
And like when my mom, like, God love her, but when she went through menopause, she was crazy. And like my brothers are older than me, so they were out doing their thing. So I was like stuck and there was a lot of tension. And like church was like my outlet. Uh-huh. I think one, because it was so quiet.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I went through a period, and looking back now, I was just like trying to deal with my own sexuality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But there was a period, probably like 7th, 8th grade leading into high school where I was like, I think I'm going to become a priest. And I have never talked about this.
You really had that real strong consideration.
I did. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to become a priest. I don't have to deal with like family relationships or, you know, I can deal with people and then go and leave. I think that was it.
And also it's like, I'll have the thing I wear every day.
No ribbons.
Yeah. But you get a place to live often. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah.
I think that's...
Well, and also too, our parish priest drove a Porsche.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like this
big thing. Well, those guys are superstars.
Oh, yeah. Well, come to find out he was laundering, you know, money from the church.
Sure, of course.
Well, there's also
they're
that.
Always doing that, too.
Yeah. Well, you could launder money.
But I had this whole thing of, like, that's what I'll do. And, like, our church bulletin had, you know, like, 2-for-1 Burger King Whopper coupons in there. I was like, this is great.
I have it all figured out.
Exactly. My meals are covered. For the price of one.
Don't you think that's a lot of people? That's a lot of people's reason to become a priest. I think it is a thing. Where I mean, I really do think that conversation happens, and when they don't want to deal with their sexuality, when they don't have to answer those questions.
Yeah.
If I don't have to answer, I don't have a wife. Well, I'm a priest. Oh, excuse me, Father.
Yes.
You know, and then end of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, you have a place to live, and you get taken care of, and I think. You know, there's also that thing, you know, as a gay kid, when you grow up, even when you're surrounded by love and you have families that are great for you, you still have a feeling of who's going to take care of me.
Right.
Like at some point I'm going to be abandoned. I feel lonely on some level. I don't really know what it is. And it's not even a conscious thing.
Right.
Because I mean, I think we've all dealt with the thing about like, what am I going to do for money and how am I going to afford my life and when I'm going to eventually get away from these people.
Yeah.
I also
had that thing too. Cause like as an actor now and a performer back then, I would look at like priests and be like, oh, I get to perform.
Yes.
And I could probably do a better job, make it more interesting.
Oh yeah. Of course. Well, you could have, absolutely, I'm like sure. That.
But then I had something happen in high school. I went to an all-guys Catholic high school. And
Hey, boys.
Come to find out, all these things that you fantasize about happened to several people but me.
Were you mad? Were you like, why wasn't I touched?
I was just a little like,
why wasn't I diddled in the rectory?
Yeah,
but we had this like, I had a couple priests there that were like awful to me, just terrible to me. And then come to find out, I ran into a friend who was like 2 years older than I was in high school. And this is probably when I was in college. And he was like, oh, do you remember the principal when we were there? I was like, yeah. It's like, oh, well, he left the priesthood for a man who was like a lay art teacher at the school. So they were clearly together.
Uh-huh.
And then he was just awful to like me and other kids that were probably, he could probably identify as gay.
Yeah, because it's like internalized homophobia.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
They will always be mean to the gay kids.
Yeah.
The gay, it's the saddest, most awful thing, but it's like that thing where they can, also they see in you like, that you have a way out.
Yeah, right. You still have the possibility
in the future, and they've like they see all the choices that they didn't make.
Yeah,
and you know, and then they see in you the thing in themselves they don't like and respect and love, which is, you know, they're gay, honey.
But it was when that like in freshman year when that priest was so awful to me that I was like, but no, because you're a terrible person.
That's when you were like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
that's really great. It had that counter effect.
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask, like, what was it that you go, oh, I need to take this other path?
I think it was, I also looking back, I don't think I was ever that serious about it, but it was constantly in my head of like, oh, and also probably just not wanting to admit things to myself and like,
right, of course.
Wanting an escape and,
Well, and you're like, you know, and that, the whole thing too, like, I'll have respect from my family. They'll be proud of me.
Right.
You know, when you're growing up and that's kind of what you want and you want to feel, you know, and I think it's that whole thing with like Velvet Rage where you go one way or the other. You're either like, I'm going to be the most overachieving, best student. I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to show everybody that I'm a good person, or I'm going to go the other way and just be like a in your face, angry, loud whore, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you kind of go one way or the other with it because you're at odds with the whole thing.
Yeah. Total. My brother and my brothers and my sister-in-law used to call me Father Tim.
The thing is, you could play a priest.
Yeah,
you'd be such a great priest on a show or in a movie or something.
It'd be so much fun.
Like, I totally see that, you know, as a role you would play.
I totally see that, yeah.
I mean, I mean, I'm glad you're
because you also have that, like, calming kind of, like...
Yes, you do.
Not that all priests are calming, but, you know, that energy of someone who's, like, a spiritual guide.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right, right.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're accepting offers. I mean, Jeffrey and I just could never be priests, just in our
God,
energy.
Because
I think we're both just like, okay.
Yeah.
Couple things. Or just, like, more, like, messy.
Couple things, Sister Diane. Have a seat. Get comfortable.
Lose the ribbon.
But it's, Isn't it funny though, the things you, as a kid you think you're going to do? Because like I always loved animals growing up, and I still do. Well, I love dogs and cats. I'm not, you know, not, you know me. I'm not a fan of birds. I hate birds, and I hate rabbits, and I hate pigs.
Do you hate reptiles too?
I don't have a real problem with reptiles, I
want them out of here.
Yeah,
I'm the same way.
I'd be fine if they were totally gone.
I don't
gone.
Care. I don't really have a thing. I hate spiders are my thing that I, and ticks. I hate like arachnids. I hate
those
things.
Yeah, I get that.
But dogs and cats, I love. Fuck birds. They need to blow. They belong in the sky. And anyone totally. That holds, you know, I can't deal with.
Did you think you wanted to be a veterinarian?
I wanted to be a veterinarian when I was like 5 or 6. I was like, I wanted to be a veterinarian. Also, I was such a little snot that it was one of the biggest words I knew. So I liked to walk around and say, I'm going to be a veterinarian.
Right.
Because I was just that little homo that like loved to know things. Oh, I was like. I loved it. I mean, when my mom tells stories about when I was like 3 years old and I tried watermelon, and I was like, I don't care for the texture.
Oh.
Three. The texture.
This queen.
This queen has arrived.
Shit.
Yeah. And I went up to my mom's cousin one time at a reunion, and I was like, Jeannie, I love your plum sweater. Sweater, yeah.
I would love a plum sweater,
I mean,
by the way.
Yeah, and then Jeannie like looked at my mom and was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a vet, and then I like up through probably 10th grade, I wanted to be a doctor. And I thought I could be a doctor because it's just that stupid thing where you're like, I was good at science and math. Yeah. I was like a, you know, in Lincolnton, North Carolina, good at science and math. Once I got to college, right. I was like, oh no, I'm not good at these things.
That's what I started out pre-med in college.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Cause you think like you make good grades, you know, and you're like, everyone tells me I'm smart.
Right.
I'll just do that. And I loved helping people. Mm-hmm. And I always like loved, and I lived next door to our family doctor. So, they were Iranian in North Carolina. I didn't know any Jewish people. I didn't know any Catholic people growing up,
wow.
but our next door neighbors were Shiite Muslim,
wow.
and they were from Iran, and so I loved that. Like I was like, this is awesome, and
yeah.
so I like really, and they were our favorite neighbors, and I looked up to them, and I don't know, I was like, I'm gonna do that with my life. I have the world's shakiest hands. Every night I have to put on my makeup. I get so mad at my hands because they shake all over my face when I try to put makeup on, and I'm like, how could I have been like a surgeon in so many ways?
Or just taking someone's temperature. Even.
I mean, like, I couldn't even do that. I would get irritated with someone just jab the thermometer down my throat and be like, deal, you know, I couldn't, there'd been so many reasons why I couldn't do it, aside from how like
hard
it is to be a doctor. Like, you know, and
imagine if you were a doctor right now. Like, imagine your life. Like, if that's what you were doing today, like seeing patients.
Well, I think about that and I'm like, that would have been such a strange, horrible path for me. Also, another path that I for a hot minute considered, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't do that. And this would definitely be like a choice that you could definitely see me doing. Okay. And that was right after college, I was offered to run my community theater.
Well, sure.
And and for a hot minute, I was like, I have a job.
Yeah.
I'll go back home. I can run the community theater. I can be in charge of it.
Star in the plays.
Right. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. And I'll be back at the thing. And oh my God.
I mean,
can you imagine?
I mean, it's something I think about all the time for myself because it is like such a like a nice like backup dream.
Yeah.
I mean, because in a lot of ways it does sound like refreshing to just like go somewhere and be like, you know, I'm direct. Yes, we're in tech for 9 to 5.
Yeah,
you know, and like
exactly,
and we are. You know, we're doing auditions for Birdie this weekend.
And, you know,
that just sounds like, and it's like, it just sounds so nostalgic and fun because
right,
I grew up doing community theater.
Yes,
and like, and it's just, oh, it sounds so great. But and like, also you kind of miss the like politics of it all.
Oh
too,
my
and
God,
all the like crazy people. Yeah.
I mean, it was my outlet because I mean, it's like. I had high school and I had all the drama of high school. And then at night I would go to my community theater and everyone was 40 and up.
Same. Yeah.
I was like the only high school person that did it consistently. There were a couple people that did it a little bit in there, but I was so involved in their personal drama and they added a position for me. I was like the youth representative.
I would go
like once a month to the community theater meetings. And I remember there was like a woman that like threw a chair across a wall. Cause like, we couldn't get the rights for, I mean, probably Bye Bye Birdie. I mean, it was that thing where you were like, what do you mean Music Theater International won't call us back? Chair against a wall, you know?
And I was obsessed with those people.
And I was so into it. And I, you know, and Also, and I've talked about this in the podcast, when I was busted for smoking pot my senior year of high school, and we got like, I was stripped of every honor. Oh, I lost scholarship money. I had to give up everything. I couldn't be an officer in any of the clubs. And the community theater was the only place that was like, you're good. We don't care. You have rehearsal tonight, you know, and they just, it made no difference. And I was directing the musical then, and I still, and even in college,
the show must go on, they say.
They do say that.
I'm actually the first one who said that.
Oh, are you Bernadette Peters?
Yes, I am. Wait, when you were in college?
Because I think she's
that. She did trademark it.
But in college, I was so involved in the theater, and I have dreams about, like, what's the college theater season going to be?
Oh, my God. I check my community, my Rome, Georgia, Rome Little Theater in my hometown. Yeah. I still go on their message board twice a week.
I mean, I do mine, too. Yeah.
And then the other day, I got mad they were doing... Like, what were they doing? They were doing something, and I was like mad I wasn't. Oh, they're doing August Osage County.
What?
And I got like
in Rome, Georgia.
Yeah, and I got angry. Why am I not directing this? I got angry. And then I was like, what are you doing?
Why didn't they call me? I could have helped out so much.
Like, what?
Well, it's like when you do go, you know, when you do decide to do this professionally, there's just so much unknown, and it's so hard. And, you know, you have a lot of downtime, and you're told no a lot. And it's terrifying, you know, and it's also like doing
titillating and fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it keeps you, you know, excited and you get to work with the best people in the world in your profession.
Then you're like at home like oh God, they're doing 9 to 5.
I know. And you're like, if I get back to a community theater, there's a set season.
Yeah.
You know, we plan our 5 or 6 shows a year, and we're always in rehearsal for something and always doing something, and everything gets like a 2 or 3 weekend run, and then we move
like
on to the next one.
A decent budget.
Yeah.
And like, you know, everybody talks about out in the town.
Right. And then,
and your days are like filled with that.
Yeah.
Right. For the whole year.
Yeah. And that's just what you do with your life. And then,
what are we doing?
But then think about 10:30 p.m., the drive home.
Or worse, the cast going to like Waffle House.
Uh-huh.
Grabbing a late night bite after the practice.
I would be violently overweight. I
would be a full-blown alcoholic, a cocaine addict, still overweight.
Yeah. Rome, Georgia, you would find cocaine. You
know, I would make it. I don't know. You know. We would somehow figure it out.
Yeah.
So bitter.
Yes.
So bitter. Refused to go to New York ever.
Oh, completely. Oh, we would have had so many stories like, could have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. That town's a rat race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shunning it, like, just talking shit about everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. And that's it's the pain and the itch of when you actually start doing it. You're like, I have to keep doing this because it's what I love so much. It's my drug.
Yeah.
And if I did go home or did go to a small place, I would just be annoying to everyone involved.
Oh,
I would, you know, people wouldn't care.
Exhausting.
Because the greatest thing about, you know, doing community theater is that, like, you have people who are plumbers and teachers and that live lives, and they do it for the sheer love of what they
do. Yeah, they're not there for like...
Right.
And many times they're very talented and they really are committed to it and they care about it, but... They don't care about your stories about, you know, Marin Mazzy.
Right.
They don't care that you're going to be like...
No. They don't care that Mary Lou Roll Along documentary is now streaming on Netflix. They're not going to be excited about that. Yeah. I would also feel like I would definitely get arrested for having, like, sexual relations with, like, a 17-year-old.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah,
if I was still there.
Yeah.
That would have happened years ago.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I was, like, 23.
Uh-huh.
it would have happened.
And when, like, I know. So it's just
sort of a dark path to go down.
Well,
my revelation is that I
I don't like ribbons.
I don't like ribbons, but I love
boys. But I like
boys.
Them young.
Yes. Gross. I don't.
No, I know, but I do think that's, you know, we've talked a lot about like nature nurture situations, and you're like, you know, it's a little bit of both in those situations. You get put in those things and you're just like, oh, who cares?
Oh, yeah.
My life
is horrible.
My life is horrible.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be the worst. You know, I don't know. Oof. Anyway, so I'm glad.
I'm glad none of us are in our hometowns running our community theaters. And I'm also glad you're not a priest.
I'm so glad
you're not a priest for so many reasons.
Right. Oh, God. I can't imagine.
It would just be awful.
I know somebody who I knew through friends growing up, who is now a priest.
Really? A Catholic priest.
A Catholic priest. And it kind of like makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because he does these like... You know,
we're
like,
both like, yeah.
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 And he's like a really good looking guy, but he just leads to like... like walks and pickets.
What?
He goes to like Washington D.C. and does these like anti-abortion
things. Oh,
gosh.
Or, you know, or like it's just it's kind of sad.
Oh, that is like sad. Yeah,
the jock in high school and like went
off. Do you think?
And,
well, never mind. I'll ask you that. Yeah, but sure.
Yeah,
there's a lot. He's not going to listen to this.
Sure. Yeah. You don't. You really don't know. He may
really
be a hardcore druggy fan.
As most of Earth is, I think most of the planet is listening to us. Right
most
now,
so. Priests and
priests love a podcast.
Yeah, priests love podcasts.
They love you know like a really irreverent L.A. based gay podcast.
Right.
They were like, oh, yes, please. Hey, maybe they do. It's, you know, it is sad when people who can't deal with their own demons push that off onto other people. Because that's so much of that it's about. And then there are people who are like called to do it. And you're like, if you're, you know, called to, you know, because I'm all about respecting people's faith. And if that's what works for them, it's like, great. If you feel really called to it. But once you start marching against human rights...
Yeah.
You've kind of lost
your
mind.
It gets a little crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why that's like you feel the need to. And the scariest thing is that like, you know, with everything, it's like when you feel like God's on your side, that's the scariest person to be around. And that's the, know, because that's the person.
Because then
like,
that's your answer.
Right.
For everything.
Always. Yeah. You know, who needs logic when, you know, he knows the answer. He knows what I'm doing is right.
Mm-hmm.
And you just really like, you know.
We gonna go to church after this, guys?
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. It's Sunday, but we can go to Sunday mass. Or I mean Wednesday, it's right.
I definitely want to like scrub and flagellate myself, like for several hours.
Just scrub.
I'm hearing confession.
Yes. Well,
you grew up going to church too, right?
I went to Catholic school I was in eighth grade. But it was like only, it was like the private school in my town. So it was like, my parents just like sort of sent us there, but we weren't Catholic. We were Episcopalian.
Okay.
But we grew up going, but it was more to like, it was more of a social thing. Like my mom had a women's clothing store. A lot of people who shopped there would come to meet at church. So it was like a
networking.
And
you worked there at some point?
I was always like very young. I was there. I grew up there like there every day after school.
Uh-huh.
And so I was there for like 4 hours every day of my childhood. It was called Ragtime Boutique.
Oh my God.
It was like.
That is the greatest thing ever. And that is the sitcom of a little boy.
Oh God.
Going, you know.
And the sign was like this. Wooden carved sign of the most fabulous woman you've ever seen in the biggest hat, like an enormous hat.
Was there a ribbon on it?
No, but like flowers and fruit and like so many things. Like things. It was almost like the hat was a cornucopia, you know? Like, and it was just like the biggest thing. And she was laid out with her legs stretched out and just like sort of her arms stretched, just like reclining back. And it said the most enticing in town, Ragtime Boutique.
Wow.
And they were actually like really, my mom like would go to New York and like get, like go to market and find cool designers and stuff and sold really cool stuff. But then would also have like half of it was like cool stuff and then half of it was like, you know, like sweatshirts with cats on them.
You
gotta have something for everybody.
Howard Finster, do you know that? He's like a southern like religious painter. But like folk art. Like that really colorful folk art.
So there was a lot
of that in there. A lot of handmade jewelry, but then like a lot of really cool raw silk clothing.
To raw silk. My mother would have loved that because my mom was an interior designer, and so like we always would go in these shops, and my mom loved boutiques and she loved like local places and she loved funky jewelry and like a crazy shoe
and then
or
my,
something.
My mom, this Ragtime Boutique shared a retail space with a children's clothing boutique called Little Goose and Gander. And Little Goose and Gander, I won't say the woman's name, but the woman who I think started it and ran it was like this crazy person who
I can't believe it.
Who I was always convinced was like never mind. She was crazy. But then she got arrested for, she was having an affair with her son's best friend who was 13 years old.
Oh my God.
She was picking him up in the middle of the night. He was like climbing out his window. She was getting in the car. They were like driving around town, like having sex all over the place.
Oh my God. 13.
He was 13. And then the kid started bragging about it to the friends at school.
Of course.
Obviously, it gets to the parents. The woman gets arrested. She was in prison for like a couple years.
Oh my God.
Little Goose and Gander had to be
run by the goose. It's not good for the gander.
And then, not long after she got out of prison, she went back to running the children's clothing boutique.
No.
No.
I don't know how that happened. And then there was a man who tried, she would like stay there late at night working in the office. And already crazy.
Yeah.
And a guy tried to break in and the alarm system went off and the alarm starts beeping and the woman comes out of her office with her gun that she kept on her at all times and shot the guy.
Oh my God.
In the leg. And like,
oh my God.
Didn't get arrested that. I don't think she went to prison for that. But it was the talk of the town when she got arrested
for
having sex with that kid for years.
I mean,
I still bring it up every time I'm home. I check in on her on Facebook all the time.
Oh, this is what you're like fascinated about. You know, that like small town.
And she seemed like she was played by Kathy Moriarty. Like, like a younger, but like 80s Kathy Moriarty.
Like a
larger kind of woman with like gruff, you know, kind of voice, chain smoker, but still kind of sexy.
Like maybe Celia Weston.
No,
Celia Weston's a little low energy.
More like looked like Sybil Shepherd, like in the later years of the sitcom.
Okay, great.
You know? But like kind of had that gruffness.
Beverly D'Angelo, Kathy Moriarty thing about her. You know, I love that it's like a southern.
Little Goose and Gander.
Little Goose and Gander. Oh my God. And I love she's just like shooting and fucking and still part of the community.
Yep. And it's right back in there.
Yeah. She'd also had an affair, like years before, had an affair with the local female tennis pro.
Yes.
Susan, I think was her name.
Yep.
And like, I love it.
Like the butchest lesbian you've ever met.
Yes.
Like had an affair with her, broke Susan's heart, moved on to a 13-year-old boy. Like she's everything that like the right-wing Christians are afraid are queer people.
Exactly. And yet they go to her store and buy her clothes.
And she was fully one of them,
and
too.
And fully goes to that. Yeah. Yeah. That's that's the thing too. That it's like I have never the fear that this side has about like you know trans people in bathrooms that were like
totally.
You know they see like, I'm like have you looked in your backyard what's actually happening in your town because there's so much drama there's so much scandal and there's always like I mean small towns have it more than anywhere else because the big cities people are too busy they have too much shit to do or they're like working too hard because like they can't afford anything too expensive and so they don't have time to sit around and go, you know, how can I?
And they're like four bedroom house thinking, I'm bored as fuck.
I know.
I'm gonna go fuck a kid.
I know. You know? Like, exactly.
That's honestly what happens in small towns.
They get really bored. They fall in love with pills and they're just like, what else am I gonna do today?
Oh, yeah.
And
I already have a lake house. I might as well go do this.
Yeah, let's use it.
And, you know, and that is the one thing where it's like, you know, and I knew, I mean, it's like I spent a summer in Kentucky before I moved out here when I did summer stock and I got way, it was like my definitely like sluttiest time in my life, which is like nothing for anybody else. But for me, I was like,
sure,
you know, and I was trying every drug I could get my hands on. I was like experimenting with everything. And everybody was like, you're moving to LA. You're going to be dead in a year. Like you are just not and I go, no, in LA, I'll have a structure. I'll know what I'm there to do. I will meet like-minded people.
The stakes are higher. You have to make money.
Right.
And it's my start of my new life. I'm here. I'm in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. And you know, everyone here is just like doing pills. And what else are you going to do? You know, it's like, so you just do that. And I get why. It is such a bigger problem in these smaller places because people are just bored and they're like, we don't have enough going on. And yes, things aren't expensive. And so they don't really have to work that hard to get what they want.
So just like spend money on opioids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would be, and I'm no better than anyone.
I would be the same way.
I would be there doing that and a part of those like horrible scandals or just like talking about it while I'm chain smoking at Waffle House on my third, you know, ham steak. like, and, you know, and sneaking bourbon into my sweet tea and just being like, you know what?
You know what? Life is good.
Life is great. Oh, I think we're going to do Harvey next year. I mean, you know, just like, I don't think you, you know, you, it's just, that's... It's what it is. It's what it is. Meanwhile, you know, we're out here going, oh my God, I've got to keep going. Got to keep doing it. So, I don't know. Well, I believe we're out of time on that note. On that sad note, I'm like,
But we're all out here. We're doing what we can.
Just trying to, like, you know, connect and, I don't know, make it happen. I don't really know.
Connecting in Burbank.
Exactly.
A new film.
I talk about Burbank almost every week on the show.
I love Burbank.
I love Burbank.
Your favorite thing to say when you're drunk is, can someone give me a ride to Burbank?
It really is.
It's literally something you say every time I'm around you and you've had like a sip of alcohol.
I love
also No matter where you are, in Burbank or in New York.
Yeah, I one of my favorite go-tos is also being drunk and asking people for a ride to the airport.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of a party, like, can I get a ride to the airport?
Yeah, you love
that. I don't know why it makes me laugh. Like, you would all of a sudden be like, wait, you have a plane to catch? Where are you going? What are you doing? Why are you here?
And the later it is, the funnier. Right.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And just the worry, like, no
my
one
here
should
be getting... My flight's in an hour. We gotta
go. Exactly. I gotta go now.
Drew, it's 1 a.m.
I have security. Oh, my God. I have large steamer trunks to take. I should have a lot to get through. Oh, my Lord. Oh, all right. Well, get me to Burbank, even when I'm already here.
Get me to Burbank. This should be your cat, like your sign-off.
Good night and get me to Burbank.
Yeah, I like it.
I wish Rachel Maddow always signed off saying that.
That would make so much weird sense. Yeah, I would love it. All right. Well, I want to thank my wonderful guests, Jeffrey Self and Tim McKernan.
Thank you, guys.
This was so fun.
It was so fun. So delightful and easy. And I always love it. It's just an excuse to hang out.
Fan of all you do.
Wonderful. Likewise. Love back it. At you. All right, guys. Have a great week. Get me to Burbank. This has been another episode of Drew Droege's Minor Revelations. Goodbye.